The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen. The gospel we just heard is a portion of our Lord's Sermon on the Mount, which occupies three whole chapters in St. Matthew's Gospel. And at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, St. Matthew says this: "And when Jesus had finished all these sayings, the crowds were astonished at his teaching." But the word which is translated into English as astonished really means alarm. And when Jesus finished all these sayings, the crowds were alarmed at his teaching. And perhaps you and I are too when we hear Jesus say, "I tell you, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." No wonder the crowds were alarmed. So what are we to make of these words of Jesus? How shall we understand them? How shall we apply them to ourselves? What are we to make of this relentless demand for righteousness in the sight of God? Well, to answer that question, we first need to remember this, that though people won't always admit it, every human being has a sense of what ought and ought not to be, a sense of right and wrong, even though people may not agree about what is right and wrong, what ought and ought not to be. In a word, every human being has an innate sense of accountability, which is finally a sense of accountability to our Maker, whether we know it or not, whether we admitted or not. St. Paul speaks of this sense of accountability as written on human hearts when he has this to say: "When Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature what the law requires, they show that the work of the law is written on their hearts, and their conscience also bears witness, and their conflicting thoughts accuse or even excuse them." And so we see that this sense of oughtness, this sense of accountability, is written on the human heart, even though the corruption of fallen human nature is so deep that we try to suppress or deny this sense of accountability to our Maker. As it is written in the letter to the Hebrews, "No creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. And what God has written on every human heart, He's also revealed through His chosen prophets. You might even say that the entire Old Testament is a record of the prophet's revelation of our Maker's will for us, His human creatures. And in all the truly terrible stories we find there, we see the inescapable consequences of defying our Maker's good and gracious will. And isn't the whole human story, in a sense, a record of the inescapable consequences of defying our Maker's good and gracious will? In His Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus continues the work of the prophets of old as He uncovers the inward spiritual meaning of the Ten Commandments, which are no arbitrary code, but in fact reflect the very way in which the world is made. And so in the portion of the Sermon on the Mount read on this Lord's Day, the Lord Jesus shows that the fifth commandment, "You shall not murder," not only forbids actually killing another human being, it also forbids the hateful thought and the wounding word, no less than the murderous hand. And then Jesus goes on to show that when the sixth commandment says, "You shall not commit adultery," what's forbidden is not only the adulterous act, but also the unguarded thought, the lustful look. "I tell you that unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will never enter into the kingdom of heaven." No wonder the crowds were alarmed by Jesus' teaching. No creature is hidden from His sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. But the one to whom we must give account is not only our judge, He is also our merciful Savior. And the good news is that the righteousness that exceeds that of the scribes and the Pharisees is not ours, but His. Not our accomplishment, but His free gift of mercy. Long before the coming of Christ, the prophet Jeremiah foretold the coming of one whose very name would be, "The Lord is our righteousness." The Lord is our righteousness. The one who would for us and in our stead fulfill all righteousness by his life of perfect love, perfectly fulfilling the will of the Father, and then in his passion suffering the judgment we by our sins have deserved. His is the righteousness that exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. He is that righteousness. Christ is our righteousness. In his saving death and life-giving resurrection, he is our righteousness. Freely given through our baptism into his atoning death and life-giving resurrection. As St. Paul writes, as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. As many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. And that's why we pray in the words of an old hymn, Jesus, thy blood and righteousness, my jewels are, my glorious dress. In these before my God I'll stand when I shall reach the heavenly land. Now it's no secret that we live in an age when the awareness of humankind's accountability to its maker has faded and even disappeared. And we deceive ourselves if we imagine that we as professing Christians are somehow immune to all this. The last century was marked by unprecedented horrors. And this new century, now completing its first quarter, has also been dreadful in its own way. This past week, I happened to come across some words of Albert Schweitzer, who was unquestionably a light in the past century's darkness, a truly remarkable person in all kinds of ways. He was a winner of the Nobel Peace Prize. He was born in 1875 in Alsace, which was then a part of Germany. He was a Lutheran pastor and the son and the grandson of Lutheran pastors. He was a learned scholar, and he was also an accomplished organist, a musician who loved and promoted the works of J.S. Bach and wrote a much acclaimed biography of Bach. But perhaps what's even more remarkable is that he then went on to study medicine and became a medical doctor, and himself went to Africa and founded in a hospital in what today is Gabon, but was then French Equatorial Africa, where Schweitzer spent most of the last 40 years of his life until he died and was buried there in 1965. At the advanced age of 90 years. Now I want to share with you his words that I came across by chance or by providence this past week. And I urge you to listen very carefully to them, and I urge you to ponder them. Ponder them. And this is what Albert Schweitzer had to say. Wherever there is lost the consciousness that every human being is an object of concern for us just because he is a human being, civilization and morals are shaken, and the advance to fully develop inhumanity is only a matter of time. Wherever there is lost the consciousness that every human being is an object of concern for us just because he is a human being, civilization and morals are shaken, and the advance to fully develop inhumanity is only a question of time. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Having heard the word of God, let us stand and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible.